It's a couple of minutes after 8 o'clock, a Thursday edition of the Mornings with Ed show. Welcome to the program today. Fortunately, each and every Thursday, we get a chance to speak with our mayor by telephone at 8:30. This morning, good fortune is shining on us already, man. 8 o'clock, and she walked in the door. We welcome in for the Thursday conversation our mayor, Sue Kemp. Good morning, Mayor. How are you?
Good morning, Ed. So nice to be in here. You made me a nice cup of tea this morning. Right at home.
Nothing but the best for you.
Usually, I'm sitting on the couch having our 8:30 conversation, but it's so much nicer to be here in person.
I love having you here. I don't want to like push any boundaries, but I'd love to have you here all the time, and this would be really cool. These scones are on the way, by the way.
Oh, perfect.
So how are you this morning?
I'm great. No, right. I'm really great. I've been busy. I went to the kids' Halloween walk through town yesterday.
All right. Describe your costume yesterday in case people couldn't recognize who that was.
It was Winifred Sanderson from Hocus Pocus.
Right.
She's played by Bette Midler. And it was funny, I had this red wig on, you know, I have all this hair, so it was really hard to get my hair up in there. And then my ears went numb from the tension.
The strap on the wig?
Well, just the wig itself going around my ears was such a funny sensation because, first of all, I have a pretty big head, then hair, and the wig was just... But anyway, it was really fun. We start the cobblestone, so many kids and their families down there, and then we walked, it was nice to have the promenade because we walked down the middle of the street because there were a lot of kids.
Right.
You're supposed to stay on the sidewalk, but the overflow was just people were in the streets. And the kids got their candy, and then they stopped at the Presbyterian Church in the parking lot back. It was wonderful.
I had a lot of
fun chats with the parents and a lot of joking around with the kids, and it was great. It was really great.
That's all. Now, we got Oak Street coming up on Monday, and I know we always see you each and every year at the Oak Street celebration. Are you going to wear that same costume, or do you have to change? I'm the mayor, and I can't be seen twice in the same costume.
No, I'll probably wear it again until I get a headache or something and take that stupid wig off. But
well, maybe put it behind the ears instead of on top of the ears. Maybe that'll work there.
Yeah, I'll probably. When it gets dark, I'm taking it off.
Okay. You mentioned the promenade, and I was going to save this for later, but we may as well talk about it now. When you think about the promenade in 10 years, what does it look like to you? What does that area look like?
Well, I'd like it to be a beautiful plaza there, right. And we're going to work on that coming up. But it's people absolutely love it down there. I heard it over and over yesterday, and people said, this is so great. And the kids were sitting down. Right. Some of the kids were little,
right.
So they got a chance to sit down and rest and stuff. But it's been a community gathering place,
right.
And I think it's really opened up the whole town in a really positive way. People
right.
like being outside, so beautiful, more places to go in town,
right.
Walk across the street in the morning to the beach and then through Heisler, back through our town. It just makes it really just a wonderful experience.
Right. 10 years from now, do you see an expansion of the stage maybe? Or visually, when you're thinking about it, what it's looking like in the future, is it the same? Is it exactly the same as it looks now? Or in your mind's eye, does it look a little different?
No, I'd like it to be, wider sidewalks, more open, maybe some more trees, shade.
Right.
But, I think in 10 years, it'll be interesting to see because, people like walkable towns now. And I think it could be in 10 years we have even less cars parking on the street and they're more walkable. Mm-hmm. It's really appealing. And our town's so tiny.
Right.
You can walk anywhere within a few minutes.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know how prevalent cars will be in 10 years, but I can see more walking because of the environment primarily.
Right. Right.
I can see more walking through town and bicycling through town.
Right. Excellent. So how's campaigning going? Speaking of walking, I imagine you're doing a lot of walking.
No, I've been doing a lot of walking, a lot of meet and greets, a lot of big events that I've gone to, and it's going fine. People here are so nice by and large, really, really nice.
Right.
And, some people will ask some really good probing questions and some people will say like, well, when's the election? Kind of thing.
Right.
So it's kind of there's some extremes, but for the most part, since I've been mayor, people know me now, and which is helpful.
Right.
And I think the people that are really paying attention to the town are engaged.
Right.
And other people are interested and just have to be educated.
So those that have to be educated, for instance, when someone comes up to you and we know that there have just been email pushes and mailers and misinformation in a lot of the mailers and emails that go out. When someone comes up to you and they have this misinformation, what do you find are you constantly having to correct people is what I guess what I'm asking.
Really on Measure Q primarily.
Okay.
The other junk mailers, what I call junk mailers that go out that are just, the usual nasty politics.
Right.
People don't ask much about that. In fact, more of the comments I get are like, since when did Laguna Beach become such a nasty place?
Right.
And that's more the prevalent discussions that we're having is people, you know, look around, really appreciate where we live, particularly since the pandemic.
Right.
And they don't really want to hear any of this, you know, these conspiracy theories or this nonsense. They just dismiss it out of hand.
Right.
And I've had so many people tell me, I just take all the mailers and throw them in the trash. I don't even look at them. I think that's what most people do now.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You know, I get a ton of them too. And right. Some of those are state propositions and stuff.
I'll keep one to use it as a hard cardboard piece in case I got a marker or something, you know, and I need a hard cardboard piece. Some of the mailers, they spend good money on them. So I'm like, oh, I'll keep this one just to use it, mark it up here. You mentioned Measure Q. And what we've been doing here on the program is each and every day, we go over a different ballot measure and then a different proposition statewide, and we read directly from the analysis. We don't get, you know, I try not to go one way or the other.
Yeah, that's good.
And then on other occasions, I'll give them my opinion on them. And what I've found now that you mentioned Measure Q is a lot of contradictions as I read it. And I initially read all 18 million pages of it and then have since had to read it a couple of times. Once when we did the forum, right before the night before we did the forum, I had to go over it again. And I do find a lot of contradictions. Are you finding the same?
Well, it's a complicated ballot measure. And, you know, one of the there's a lot of problems with Measure Q. One is I think, it, you know, on a macro level, it's very unfortunate that we're doing this because it's divisive for the community.
Right.
And it's just not necessary. But, you know, above and beyond that, when you have a few people working to write a land use policy,
right,
you don't have any business doing that on your own in a vacuum. You should have. If you want to be, you know, engaging the public on this, the best way to engage the public is to have it thoroughly vetted by professionals.
Right.
And that would be our land use planning group and community development, and that would be our planning commission. Because that's their job. They look for all the flaws. You know, right. where are the inaccuracies? Where are the flaws? What are the things we haven't thought of? What are the ramifications down the road? That's all the things that we think about. So that's what should have happened. And right. It would have been much nicer to operate in an environment like that. The ballot measure itself is, if you just look in your ballot pamphlet, and a lot of people have said this to me, I looked at it and I'm not voting for it. I said, I can't even plow my way through that. It's way too complicated.
Right.
And it is. I mean, even for me, when I got it, I read it like three times, and then I did what planning commissioners try to do, and you try to apply it to the town. Then I had a bunch of questions, so then I asked our community development department, am I reading this right? Is this true for this application or that application? So I went through it. You know, it was alarming when I read it, right. To be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because what's being pushed is just a, you know, frightening narrative that all of a sudden things have changed and our town is going to be, you know, we're going to have 60-foot buildings on the beach.
Right.
People that live in Laguna Terrace Park, someone told me, we're going to have 60-foot buildings here and I'm going to lose my view. And I said, well, do you think we're going to build on top of the Montage? I
mean, right.
I mean, it's a lot of the scare tactics.
And those that are less informed fall for those generally. And we've seen that historically, that people that are less informed do fall for that stuff. Do you find that those that are pushing Measure Q are preying on those people and purposely putting out misinformation?
Well, I've heard a few, I've been near people that are Measure Q proponents and I've heard their arguments, and I would say those are inaccurate.
Right.
But this is what happens when you put something out in the public domain, you're going to get a lot of scrutiny. Yeah. And it's deserved. So, you know, that's why, you know, this whole scare tactic, these big buildings and overdevelopment. So that's why Bob and I put this, you know, we call it Ordinance 1675, which just addresses mass, height, and scale, because that's all what people are worried about.
Right.
You know, that's their hot button for Measure Q, is that's what they push. And right. So we just, although we weren't, you know, concerned about it, we said, let's just write a nice, clean, very simple ordinance. So that addresses mass, height, and scale, and we pushed it through the council, and it's on its way to the Coastal Commission, and that just takes care of any really big concerns that people would have. And people say, like, oh, you could reverse that. No, it's going to the Coastal Commission.
Right.
The Coastal Commission will be very not inclined to reduce anything or to eliminate anything or change anything that we send over. They're not going to.
Right.
So
it's pushing a naive narrative at that point.
It's pretty silly, but I think the worst, of course, there's two parts of it. There's zoning, which right. is like the mass, height, and scale thing. We've had a 36-foot, one person said to me, well, you guys could overturn it. the height limit. I said, well, it's been around for 50 years. How many councils have we had in the last 50 years? A lot. Was anybody trying to change it? No. Does anybody want to change it? No. Let's all get on the same page on that.
I've noticed a couple of just, and I don't use the word redundancy because, well, there even though there are parts that are redundant, there are some parts that just kind of go head to head and smash up against each other. So they recently sent out a top 10 reasons to vote for it. And reason number two was Laguna has been low growth. Let's keep it that way. And then they go on to explain why they feel that way. But then you get to reason number 20, and it says that it supports growth. So how are they trying to reconcile that?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Well, they have the top 10 reasons, but then they have 20.
Right. Well, there's another one. Yeah.
It's a little... Hey, wait a minute. We thought of some more things here. No, but...
Well, that's where the redundancy comes in. 11 through 19 are pretty much what 1 through 7 was.
Well, I mean, you know, we're not looking for big growth in this town. We're just looking to keep our town in balance here. So we don't want to have too many vacancies. We want businesses that are people are interested in.
Right.
And that's the kind of environment we have. We want small, we like single proprietor businesses. We don't allow a lot of chains here. So we're not promoting growth. The only change we made in our downtown specific plan is we relaxed the parking requirements so that when new businesses would come in here, and there's been a lot of interesting ones that have come to the counter when they hear about the parking requirements, and because we have no parking,
right.
they take off. So we just try to add some a little bit of flexibility so that we can kind of keep the town, you know, running smoothly and try to eliminate vacancies because it's a... You know, retail is hard. It's under a lot of pressure, and so you're going to have vacancies from that. But you don't put land use policies in to, you know, to try to mitigate that for somehow. I don't know. It's ridiculous.
Right. Let's talk about wildfires and the dangers of wildfires and the necessity for a firehouse in South Laguna.
Yeah.
And their claim that it's just a simple lot adjustment to put those three lots together to build a firehouse there. If, in fact, that were to have to go to a vote, that would delay that project, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Well, the city, we're not going to spend any money planning for a fire station, which there's a lot of upfront planning.
Right.
We're not going to spend a dime on that until we know we can do it.
Right.
And our fire stations, you know, the fire station one's in part of City Hall, and it's, you know, it's part of the building.
Right.
It's old. And I've been in there a lot with the fire department and looking around. We've made some changes to it, but there's not a whole lot you can do there. You can't really expand it.
Right.
And then Fire Station 2 is, 50 years old, and Fire Station 3 is older. And then the one in South Laguna, it just needs to be taken down. We need to build a new fire station, like, urgently. So we want to build a state-of-the-art fire station there. But Measure Q says land, you know, lot consolidations over 7,500 square feet have to go to the ballot. It's cut and dry.
Right.
And this is where, when you don't test something we don't apply your ballot measure to town. This is the kind of stuff you find. And the lot, the total property there is 17,000, around 17,500 square feet. So you can't. No, you can't. Wouldn't it be great if we could all move a lot line? Hey, how about Mo? Why don't you go to the counter and move some lot lines around? Right. No, you can't do that. For one reason, it's. Well, there's a whole bunch of reasons, but one is it's against what we call the Subdivision Map Act. It's against the South Laguna Village Zoning Code, which is there for a reason. You can't make lots any smaller, so you can't move it over. You can't move a line and make a really skinny lot. You can't do that. They can't be made smaller. So if you know anything about land use when you wrote this, you would think more carefully about that.
Right.
You know, they don't exempt government buildings either, which was a complete oversight.
Right.
So but when someone says to me, someone said at the council meeting, well, you can go to the counter. And I almost started laughing and said, you can't go to the, almost go to the counter and get anything done in this town. How about a lot line adjustment? No, I almost laughed out loud at that one. That was pretty funny.
And public safety actually in danger that way if this passes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we've had two fires this year and we had some luck. We had onshore winds, but we've done a lot of preparation. We're spending a lot of money on public safety and we should be.
Right.
Because that's our number one threat in Laguna Beach. And we don't need to have any delay in planning a fire station. You really don't. And in this case, the city would be the applicant. So let's say off. So they keep saying, well, you know, the cost of elections, it's really only $7,500. Yeah, if you're in a regular cycle.
Right.
If you're on every 2 years. But if you, you know, find yourself in the middle of a two-year, you know, window, then you're going to have to go to the voters particularly for a fire station, because who wants to wait around? Right. So then you have to pay per registered voter, and that's why it's the cost is $120,000-$150,000. So that's a myth that they're perpetuating.
Right. That's like sitting in a restaurant and you get the check at the end of the night and you go, whoa, what did I order here?
I didn't drink five glasses of wine. I only had three.
So I want to stay on wildfires for a second and the importance of undergrounding on the canyon. Okay, let's get past the election on November 9th. Let's just say Measure Q has failed and we're rolling. And now our focus is somewhere else. Let's talk about undergrounding on the canyon and the importance of that and the time it would take to get Edison on, but to do all of the things that we need to start it.
Yeah. So we've actually made, and I have got give Bob Whalen most of the credit on this, but we've actually made some really good headway on Laguna Canyon Road. So we had, with the BRIC funding that the Biden administration passed, it's what's Build Resilient Infrastructure, I don't know what the C stands for, but there's a lot of money sloshing
around.
Bob call in. Yeah, Bob call in. A lot of money sloshing around, and so we can get some grants through FEMA, but in order to do that, there's a process you have to follow, and one would be that Edison has to declare that Laguna Canyon Road would be a target for undergrounding. So we actually had Bob Whalen and I and Sheree Dupuy, the city manager, we had a meeting with them, their executives, and we told them this is very important. And I didn't know that they were going to do it, send us the letter, but they did.
Okay.
I think Sheree kind of prodded them.
Go Sheree.
Yeah, go Sheree. And then so we got the letter, which made us eligible to apply through, all our grants go through Cal OES. And then to get the FEMA grant, we were able to apply, and we did. So we asked for $50 million for Laguna Canyon Road undergrounding, which I think may be around $60 million overall. Mm. We'll have to scramble for another 10. Maybe we can get it from the county or something. Mm. But so that's the process. And I think it's going to take a while. We get the funding, and then we have to do, you know, the engineering has to be done and all that kind of stuff, which takes a while. But at least we'll have the money. And Edison tends to move, well, more quickly when they're actually going to get paid versus something they're going to do on their own.
Right. You got to dangle the check in front of them and go,
so
here it is.
I imagine if we get the FEMA money, we're going to put a lot of massive pressure on them to get the engineering done, because that's kind of the long pole in the tent.
And since we know we're going to have to pull an additional $10 million, will you simultaneously be proposing this to the county so that you get the full thing
and
at once?
And the state. And we'll be looking for money. Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Because this wildfire threat's not going to diminish.
Right.
We're gonna have to live with this. And I think, they're going to want everybody at insurance companies, you know, of course, the public safety agencies, the state, local, county governments are all going to want to try to mitigate it, because it's, a threat to human life and it's damaging to our economy. And it's not sustainable to keep having all these fires and all these people losing their homes and their lives. And, you have to try to pull yourself out of it.
Right.
The best way to do that is remove threats.
Right. County's got $8 billion to play with. I don't think $10
million.
Yeah. She's got down to the dime.
I've learned that from Alex Runagi. He works for the county. It's $8.8 billion, Sue, not $8.
Okay. Well, that's okay. You know what? That 0.8 means a lot.
That 0.8's a lot of money.
Yeah, they actually fit our $10 million right into there pretty perfectly there.
Exactly.
So as you roll through the next couple of weeks, and it gets longer. The trail gets long. Was this harder than it was the first time for you?
I don't really remember the first time that well.
It's all just kind of a blur.
Well, it was probably easier then for me. Well, you have all this nonsense going on with these packs. This pack, endorses this person. This pack does this.
Right.
So I wish we could get rid of all the packs, because it just messes everything up, confuses people, and it's just not nice for our community. But
let me stop you there. So we standard, you want like a standard election budget that all candidates pull from, and it's the same amount for each? And
yeah, I don't know how you would do that, like, pragmatically, how would that work? Because then maybe, if they're going to give me money, maybe I'll run. Then you might get 50 candidates saying, okay, I'm going to run, right, and I want my funding. And the only reason I didn't run, because I didn't want to do the, grassroots fundraising that you have to do.
Right.
I mean, I don't know, but there should be a way, like, you get some matching money if you raise so much within a certain, certain amount of money. You have to raise, maybe you raise $10,000 and the city government gives you $10,000. Maybe you do it like, I don't know.
Right.
There should be some better way to do this. This is not a local problem. This is a national problem.
Right. PACs have made elections pretty disgusting on every side imaginable. If it's a political action committee, it's usually the flyers, the mailers are going to be misrepresenting in some kind of way.
Well, I think eventually it's going to come to people, if people smarten up, just vote no on all these things.
Mm.
Because otherwise you have to spend all your time figuring out who's behind this,
right,
who benefits, you know, what's the real reason for this? You know, what's the, you know, they have always have some clever slogan like Measure Q, you know.
Right.
We Bob and I wrote in our article in the Indy that it's, you know, good slogan, bad policy kind of thing.
Right.
But people come up with these, you know, very deceiving names for these ballot measures.
Right.
And then like, oh, you know, I, what about my, my kidney disease? Am I going to be able to get my treatment now?
Right. I went right to a friend of mine who's on dialysis to find out about 29, to find out the truth about, well, how much, you know, how many people need to observe you while you're getting dialysis, basically. So yeah, he gave me an answer there. And let me stay on the state propositions for a second. So Proposition 30, where Governor Newsom opposed it because he said it's a grab by Lyft and Uber. It provides it provides money for the environment. It provides money to cities and municipalities for electric vehicle chargers and things like that. If in fact it passes, could we seek out some money for electric vehicle chargers here from the state? I think
we should. You know, we should look for all opportunities to get electric vehicle chargers. We're going to try to electrify our fleet over time,
right?
But you know, also the technology needs to come along faster because we need faster charging. Like for city vehicles, we're not going to over purchase city, you know, too many city vehicles to accommodate the fact that we, you know, are charging a couple right now. We can't, you know, we have hills and stuff like that,
right?
So we need to get, the technology needs to evolve. The trucks need, like fire trucks, I wouldn't be comfortable buying an electric fire truck right now.
Right.
I mean, I want that thing going. I don't want to have any gaps or it's charging up or it's been busy or it can't go out of state or it can't go somewhere. That's just not a good way to do it.
Right.
But overall, yeah, I mean, I have two Teslas and I have a golf cart. And I'm going to put some solar panels on my roof. So fortunately, I can do that. But, right, you know, not everybody can do that either. So right. I think the charging infrastructure definitely needs to be augmented here.
Right.
So many people ask me, hey, Sue, we have all these Teslas. How come we have no superchargers? Well, Tesla's only not interested in putting one in here right now.
Right.
So somehow we have to hook them in.
Okay. I'll have my people call their people. We'll see if something can happen. So you mentioned the golf cart. You find yourself in it more and more and more because it is a fun little thing, isn't it?
I love that thing. I mean, first of all, it doesn't go that fast. So I go down up and down Glen Eyrie all the time. I don't go down the Third Street Hill in that thing. I mean, even though the guy that sold it to me said it's absolutely fine.
Right.
I'm like, I'm not going down the Third Street Hill in that thing or up.
Right.
But, you know, overall, it's fun. And, you know, you're going slower. So you get to see the town from a different perspective. And you kind of know when you're driving a golf cart, you have to be very defensive because you definitely don't want to get hit on it. So
right.
I'm very careful what streets I go down. And I've had a lot of fun with it.
So in January, of course, the new term starts, and you may or may not be mayor in January. There's a vote that the council has to take place. Would you be willing to be mayor again?
Well, first of all, I have to make it through the election. There's that. But I don't know. I mean, I've enjoyed being the mayor. Being the mayor is a big responsibility for this town, particularly things are, you know, the world's more complicated now. And we've had those fires. We had the pandemic. I wasn't mayor then, but, you know, it's a lot of responsibility. And people think, oh, it's a ceremonial title. But when we have a problem, like when the fire happened, we have a lot of press and a lot of people called me, a lot of high anxiety. What are we doing? You know, thank you for this, or, you know, a lot of comments. So, you know, I only went out of town like 1 week the whole time I was mayor because I was just kind of worried about being away. Not that I'm the end all be all, but I feel a sense of responsibility like I did when I was working, running companies or running big organizations. I, you know, if I was away, I'd always be kind of worried, you know, is there anything I need to address? So I don't know. I mean, it'd be up to the council, whatever the composition of the council is. I mean, I can go either way.
Right.
I don't have really an opinion on that right now.
But if you have a vote, you're voting for you.
You know, I never vote against myself.
There you go.
You know, you want to put your money on, I always say this, you want to put your money on something, put your money on yourself.
Thank you
yourself.
Very much.
Yeah, bet on yourself.
Beautifully stated. So some unfair and unflattering and pretty untrue statements were made in this rebuttal about Measure Q to you. They claimed you had false accusations. A lot of this comes from a sitting council member, correct?
Yeah.
So a lot of this is George Weiss. Am I crazy in saying that?
I don't remember where it came out, but I mean, I don't, first of all, I keep track of all the stuff that comes out. It's kind of crazy.
Well, if it is, if in fact it is, or if he's a part of any of these negative flyers or email pushes against you, how do you work with someone like that? How do you continue to work with them? And how is that? How are you guys behind the scenes?
Well, you know, I think, you know, when you're a council member, you shouldn't go against other council members. It's not a good idea because after the election, you know, we all have to sit up there and work together. Now, he's complained that, you know, nobody wants to work with him up there. But the problem is, you know, you have to treat people the way you want to be treated.
Right.
And, you know, people will naturally gravitate towards people that are easier to work with.
Right.
And that you can have some success with. So that's the way I always look at it is, like, I like working with Bob, for example.
Right.
And we don't necessarily think alike. Bob's a very bright guy.
Right.
We don't necessarily think alike, but we can have discussions and hash through things, which is what I appreciate.
Right.
Because I don't feel like, you know, I necessarily know everything. And sometimes when I'm working with him, he points out different things. And I think, oh, I haven't thought about that. And vice versa.
Right.
So you can't, if you set up an adversarial relationship with someone on the council like that, then you're not helping the town, because we're supposed to operate as a body. Even if we don't agree, we're supposed to operate as a functioning body.
And though you don't, may not, and I don't know whether you may or may not see eye to eye with Peter on national or international issues and stuff, you appear to have a good working relationship here locally.
Well, I mean, I can work with most people. I can get along with most people. There's a kind of a very few number of people in town that I really just would care not to have to see again in my life. Yeah, I can, you know, I can work with Peter, and I can work with Tony too. You know, Tony and I don't see eye to eye on a number of things, but she's respectful to me and I'm respectful to her, and I always will be.
Right.
So
with that in mind, let me ask you what I've noticed and I've made mention of here over the last several months, and that appears to be a pattern of disrespect given to Sheree, our city manager. I don't know where it came from. I swear, I don't know when that moment was born, but there appears to be a pattern of disrespect coming from the dais towards Sheree. Do you feel that? Do you sense that?
I do. Mm-hmm. I do. And, you know, I've worked with John P. Tigg before when he was a city manager, and I'm working with Sheree. Sheree is working very hard with her team. Her team really likes her.
Right.
They really like her, and she's more of a, she has a different style than John. John was more, you know, focused on the city's finances and stuff like that, but
right.
Which was good. He was really good at that. And Sheree is
fishing now, right?
I don't know what he's doing.
he's on a fishing boat.
He's not worried about
right?
the stuff we're worried about. I'll tell you that.
Rubber boots up to here.
Yeah, exactly. But she, you know, she works really well with her people. Her people
right.
tell me that all the time. I know a lot of the people at City Hall because I was on the Planning Commission for 5 years, and then
right.
this is my fourth year on council. So I know a lot of people, and I know a lot about what's going on down there. And they like her. But, you know, I always say this, you know, you have to get behind your city manager, because if you're not behind your city manager and your staff, and you get them irritated with you and they don't like you anymore, then it's harder, just makes it harder to work with them. And we're all on, you know, I'm on Team Laguna here.
Right.
We're all, you know, trying to advance this town as best we can. You know, and most of the time we're not talking about what I would say really controversial things. It's more the business of the city of Laguna Beach.
Right. The day-to-day, keeping the electricity on.
Yeah, and, you know, to float things out there about her, I just think is really, really unfortunate.
Right.
I have a good working relationship with her. She doesn't always agree with me. I don't always agree with her.
Right.
But that's life, and, you know, is it in the best interest of the community that we have a debate back and forth? Yes.
Right.
Yeah, and sometimes I have some ideas that she said, well, this is what it's going to cost, or this is the problem, or you didn't think about this, and that's fine.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I'll tell her, we just have to do this, you know, we just have to suck it up and do it.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, that's kind of the way to operate. You can't, you just, if you're always working against the city manager, then
especially
it's not fruitful.
Right, especially one that does her homework.
Mm-hmm.
And can throw something back in your face and go, nope, here's the numbers.
Yeah.
Or nope, here's the actual situation.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the police for a second. We recently hired some park rangers and trained park rangers, right?
Yes.
The rangers that don't operate with guns.
Yep.
Are we also looking at hiring additional police officers?
So okay. We have a lot in the works with the police department here, and I think... So we have people in background. I think we have a number of people that are going to be starting in December.
Right.
And then we had a fair and we got 40 people.
Right.
And then we have, some are coming from other agencies. So I think, I'm not worried about the police department, first of all. I think what's being said about the police department is, well, first of all, we're in contract negotiations with the police union.
Right.
So I didn't seek their endorsement because I don't feel like it's ethical for me to do that while we're in negotiations. That just doesn't, it doesn't sit well with me to do that.
Right. Good move.
So, yeah.
Good
so, move. Well, yeah, that's just basic common sense. But, right. But we are going to have, we are hiring more people. So we're down 6 officers. One went to Huntington Beach, or Manhattan Beach to be the chief of police. And then Jim Cota retired, so that's 2. And then we had some people changing jobs. You know, what's happening in policing more broadly, though, is every city is short police. Because why? People don't want to be police officers anymore. There's more people leaving the profession than coming in. And that's going to be a problem for every city. Like Hermosa's paying $40,000 signing bonuses for police officers, and Irvine's recruiting like crazy, and they're offering, you know, big incentives.
Right.
So this is going to, this is a problem for every single city. That's not just us. And so I just want to make that clear.
So in negotiating with the union now, and I don't know how long the negotiations have been going on or how long they will go on, but in this negotiation, are they going to be pushing for this incredibly high base pay to get to induce police officers?
Well, I can't talk about that. It's a negotiation, so I can't talk about that.
I sure would like to know, though.
No, of course. No, we really value our police department. I mean, I love our police department.
Right.
And, you know, I work with Jeff Calvert quite a bit.
Right.
And, but it's just going to be it's a hard situation. And people say, you know, like, oh, you know, we have people leaving all the time. Well, we are always going to have people leaving, because if you want to work in homicide, we don't have a homicide division, thankfully, here.
Okay, right.
We don't have a homicide division. We don't have a SWAT team.
Right.
We are
part of a really cool SWAT unit that is
Newport.
Right.
And that's a smart way for a small city for us to work. They've been doing exercises together.
Worked really well in South Laguna a few weeks back.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do.
Right.
And, you know, we're always going to have people that want to leave, because we don't, like, you can't be a helicopter pilot in the police department here.
Right.
You know, you want to work in a certain type of, you know, detective role. Like somebody left and they went to work for the Orange County District Attorney because that's the kind of work they're interested in.
Right. And so, there's only one chief of police.
And there's only one chief. Right. We can only have so many captains. So we're always going to have this. Right. But, you know, we've got some great people on our police force. And, you know, I talk to them all the time. But it's just a challenge. It's just, it's a time that we are in life. And where resources are short everywhere, even in the private sector and businesses, people can't get people.
Right.
You know, it's just, it's so strange. I keep thinking we're going to pull out of this quickly, but we're not. I think maybe the recession will cure some of this stuff, because people are going to have to get back to work.
Right. I got devastating news the other day, and you led me right into this, is that the Sock Harbor is closing on Coast Highway. So they will eventually close. One of my favorite little shops in town. I love the sock. You know, I'm a sock guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Business here in town. How do we address filling up those empty storefronts?
Well, first of all, you don't vote for Measure Q, for one thing.
That's
the top of the list. The second thing is, you know, with our changes to the downtown specific plan, that's going to allow some more interesting businesses to come in. It takes a while for that to. I also want to hire a recruiter. There's a person in town who does recruits businesses to cities and really good at that.
Okay.
So I'd like to do that. But, you know, we have to be really flexible now, because it's a very dynamic world in retail. And, you know, if you talk to some of the really successful retailers in town, they'll say, like, oh, you know what's really, like, if you talk to Dave Rubel, right?
Right.
Rubel on Forest. What he does when he has a high-end customer, because most of his customers are high-end, he comes in, he goes over to Mulan and he gets him a cappuccino.
Right.
Or Alessa goes across the street and they buy the olive oil from the olive oil place. Or if you go to Simple, Sammy always says, the owner of Simple, he says, you know, I do well because Nick's does well. It's this knock-on effect, you know, synergistic effect. So you have to be, when you think about bringing businesses into town, you have to think, well, will this elevate our experience overall in Laguna Beach? Because the other thing I always say is, when we have a really good, you know, commercial environment, residents will like it too.
Right.
It's not for visitors, it's also for residents. But since we have such a small base, you know, we have to be flexible, because we want to keep our storefronts full. And but most of the things we have in town, I like.
Right.
I like.
Yeah.
So it's like I said before, a lot of these things are much more complicated than they used to be.
Right.
Everything's changing really fast in the world. It's kind of hard to keep up.
Right. Before I let you go, if you were to want to address the listening audience and the voters here in Laguna Beach and get one thing across to them, or make a pitch as to where you stand, Let's hear it.
Well, you know, I've loved serving the community, and, you know, I'm not doing it for any other reason that, you know, if I feel like if you have the gift of time, you should volunteer.
And you're not doing it for the money?
Not doing it for $900 a month or whatever it is, no.
Right.
No, but you do it for the love of community, and I feel like, you know, I'm a pretty level-headed person. You know, I grew up in the Midwest. A lot of us are kind of like that. I don't agree with some of their politics, but we're all pretty level-headed, you know, pretty direct people. I've always been like that. I don't, you know, you never see me lose my temper. I try to focus on the issues because that's what I think I'm there for, and to dig in and do my homework. So I always do that. And I never feel, when I go up and sit down at the dais, I never feel ill-prepared. I'm always ready, because I think the most horrifying feeling for me is if I didn't know what I was talking about up there.
Welcome to my world.
So, you know, I'm just going to keep doing my thing, talking to the community, focus on public safety. You know, I'd like to, you know, we're working at City Hall to try to speed things up for people who are building homes and remodeling homes. Right. There's a lot of cleanup work that needs to be done there over the years. It's just kind of made a kind of a hairball. It needs to be untangled.
Right.
And, you know, I want to work on housing. I want to see this community evolve, because, you know, it's almost 30% of the homes are at least second homes here now. And that's not good for a community. So we need to get some housing, more housing in here, so that we can get some younger people and we can keep up the vitality in Laguna Beach. Otherwise, we're just going to be a, you know, second home community. Nobody wants that.
Right on. Mayor Sue Kempf, as always, I can't thank you enough for taking the moment to be with us, and certainly in person today. And now you've got me spoiled. I'm going to want you here all the time. I really appreciate you being here, and good luck out on the campaign trail.
Thank you, Ed. Good to be with you. It was really fun.
Great to be with you as well. 8:40 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.